Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Thursday, June 2nd, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. Well, folks, we're going to start off the show again with good news. That's the way we like to start it. Mm-hmm. The Dutch have voted down the EU Constitution, the EU Charter. They voted 62% to 38% against, and this is even higher numbers than the French, who voted it down 55% to 45%. Mm-hmm. So, Lisa, what do you know about this?
Well, more than 6 out of 10 Dutch voters went to the polls, and the feeling there against the EU Constitution was even stronger than in France. And it was really strong in France. And I imagine if it ever gets to the British, it's going to be even stronger because they are a sovereign people also. And basically, it's dead in the water. If it has to be totally renegotiated, it will take at least 10 years to do so. The only slight possibility that exists to resurrect it is if the politicians that supported it, like Chirac and Balkenende, were voted out. But it seems unlikely that that's going to happen.
Right. So, of course, this is good news for the people of the world. It's not good news for the global elite, and it
right.
certainly doesn't put them in a good mood.
And so you know what, Victor? The euro dropped to an 8-month low on Wednesday
right.
due to the uncertainty of the direction of Europe because of this vote.
Yeah.
So
and once you start hitting them in their pocket, that also doesn't put them in a good mood. So I've been thinking about this a lot over the last couple of days. And I don't know about everybody watching Wing TV today, and I don't know about you, Lisa, but it seems to me that we're in some kind of holding pattern
mm-hmm.
right now. It's like everybody's waiting for the shoe to drop,
right.
you know, for something to happen, and we don't know what it's going to be or when it's going to happen.
Suspended animation.
But something's there. So I was thinking that for every presidency, there's a window of opportunity when these spike events
mm-hmm.
can occur. And it usually takes place anywhere from 4 to 6 months after they've been elected up until about 1 year before the next election.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this means that they don't want anything to happen real close to the election because they don't like chaos. So they have this small window of opportunity to do things in. But before we get to that, and I'm going to kind of go into a little bit of an analysis, the first thing we have to talk about is this fear factor, the ever-present fear factor. So when Tom Ridge was director of Homeland Security, what was his biggest contribution?
The color-coded terror alert chart.
Right. Now, everybody remembers that, and I don't even know if this still exists under Chertoff, but there was reds and yellows and oranges and blues and, you know, did anyone even know what it meant?
First graders.
Yeah. So so what we had here then was this Hegelian dialectic taking place where the thesis was that they'd come out every month or two with a new terror alert, red or yellow or orange,
mm-hmm.
and they'd say, you know, the terrorists are going to bomb the malls or the train stations or they're going to have anthrax or on and on and on. So that was the thesis. The opposite was that there were so many of these that what happened?
Well, people became complacent and desensitized. Nobody paid attention to them anymore.
Right. They were so apathetic that it was like Chicken Little.
And so ongoing.
Yeah. So it was like, the sky is going to fall. And they're like, yeah, again, you know. So that was exactly what they wanted. Because the synthesis of this now is that everyone is so desensitized and apathetic that when the next spike event does occur, everyone's going to be caught off guard again.
Right.
Just the way they want it. So this is a Hegelian dialectic in perfect operation, and I hope everyone can see what they've done to us. Now, getting back to this window of opportunity with the presidents, every spike event has happened within these windows. And right now, since we're in the, about 6 months or so
mm-hmm.
since Bush took office, again, the window is now open. So we have about 2 years where something's going to happen, if it will happen. And if you go back through history and look at this, 9/11 took place, what, about 9 months after Bush
right.
was sworn in. Now, if you go back to the Clinton presidency, yeah, the World Trade Center bombing of 93 in Waco, all these took place within about 4 to 6 months after he was elected. So it's right in this window.
That's right.
And Oklahoma City took place about 2 years and 3 months after he took office. So it's in this window. How about Watergate? Nixon was forced to resign from office about 1 year before the election. Also with the JFK assassination, about 1 year before the election. And finally, Pearl Harbor took place about 2 years before the election 1941, almost 2 years after he was sworn in for his third term. So every one of these spike events happened in these in this window. And right now, folks, the window is open.
Mm. So yeah, I guess we can expect well. And what do we have looming on the horizon? War with Iran.
Right. And we have George Bush as the president, which gives nobody any confidence.
Plus, we've got the government of North Korea exchanging nasty words with Dick Cheney and Condi Rice, calling Dick Cheney a bloodthirsty beast in response to Cheney's recent remarks calling Kim Jong-il one of the world's most irresponsible leaders that runs a police state and leaves his people in a state of malnutrition, and Condi Rice calling them the outposts of tyranny. Hmm. So this, now the North Koreans are taking this to mean that, you know, they're not welcome at the Six Nation talks.
Right.
And so they haven't even had these talks for nearly a year, so now this is stalling that out, and also now the Department of Defense has halted its missions to recover the remains of our Korean dead soldiers over there, saying that they want to protect our troops, although Pyongyang says that no harm was ever coming to them. They were never at risk to remove the remains. So now our men are going to stay over there and not be brought home where they belong because our leadership can't keep their mouth shut.
Yeah. So what do we have on the horizon? And we have North Korea. We have Iran. We have also these economic problems. And then we have other variables like this avian bird flu, which keeps rearing its ugly head every few months. You hear little reports trickling out and you know, about these antidotes and so forth. So there's a lot on the horizon that could lend credence to one of these spike events. And also, of course, we have Israel, which could invade Iran. So there's a lot to keep your eyes on, folks. And, you know, speaking of Israel, here's a good example of mainstream media censorship. When I was coming home today, I was listening to Bill O'Reilly on the car radio. Somebody calls in and they say, "Hey, Bill, I have an honest question for you. I hope that you can give me an honest answer." And Bill's like, "All right, go ahead. What is it, sir?" And he says, "Why don't you ever talk about this AIPAC spy scandal where Israeli agents are being convicted again of spying on this country?" Guess what Bill O'Reilly does? Click. Hangs up on him.
No kidding.
Starts calling them names. And I thought instantly, well, isn't this reminiscent of somebody else?
Yeah.
In the alternative media that does the same thing.
Korea is not the only one warning the United States. Now Russia has issued a warning to the United States. Defense Minister Sergei Ivanov says Russia will take adequate responsive measures to a move by any country to put weapons in space. Russia is adamantly opposed to the militarization of space. Mm-hmm. And they're commenting on a recent report in the New York Times that says the U.S. Air Force is seeking to field defensive and offensive space weapons. So then the White House is obviously denying this report, but it was taken seriously enough by the Russian people, by the Russian government, to comment on it. And they're warning the United States they will respond.
Right. Now, I want to talk about something else. It's called the yuan, which is the Chinese currency. Mm-hmm. But do you have any other news updates before then? Well, when we did Viz's radio show, which aired yesterday, it's called From the Grassy Knoll, he said, "Well, what do you want to talk about?" And I said, "Well, what we think is one of the most important elements right now in this whole equation is the yuan." Anyone that's not familiar with it, this is the Chinese currency, and this is making a lot of waves because ever since January 1st of this year, Chinese textiles and Chinese clothing coming into the United States and also Europe has risen by 1,500%.
Right.
Now, that's enormous. In all honesty, Lisa, I think this is one of the biggest reasons why this EU Constitution was voted down, was because when the Europeans saw when these trade quotas are removed, what's happening is that China's just flooding their country and putting entire industries out of business.
And they're at a very uneven, unfair competitive advantage. Look at our U.S. manufacturers, whatever's left of them, having to compete with that.
Yeah. Now, this has become such a big problem in this country. The two senators, one a Democrat and one a Republican, Charles Schumer and Lindsey Graham, say that if China doesn't start drawing back on these imports in clothing and textiles, that they want to impose a 27.5% tariff on all Chinese imports. Now, the first problem with this, it sounds good on the surface, doesn't it? I mean, that would basically mean that the Chinese products are more expensive, which would give our producers and manufacturer a more fighting advantage. But things can be deceiving because, first of all, there's a World Trade Organization agreement, which we belong to, which basically has handcuffed us.
Right.
Because it's saying that we can't just put a tariff on one country. We can't single China out. If we're going to put tariffs up, it has to be on all countries. Now, the United States isn't going to do that, are they?
No.
Of course not. So, just think, though, if they did, if we put a 27.5% tariff on all the Chinese products. Well, if you go to Walmart, where's everything coming from?
Well, China.
China, of course. So, imagine everything in Walmart being taxed 27.5% above what's on it now.
Wouldn't be so cheap to shop there, would it?
Right. So, people say, oh, well, this tariff's a great idea. Then they say, wait a second, I'm not going to pay 27.5% more for anything. So, there's a problem. Plus, in the year 2008, the World Trade Organization, again, this damnable organization that we belong to, said that all quotas are going to be gone by that time anyways on China. So even if we could impose something like this, it would only be temporary.
Yeah, and there's been talk that China may be revaluing its yuan, but they're denying that they're going to do that.
Right.
In stuff I've been reading.
Yeah, well, what they do is they kind of say they're going to, and then they draw back and they actually don't do anything. And the biggest problem arises is because ever since 1994, the yuan has been pegged to the dollar at 8.28 to 1. So in other words, if the dollar goes up or the dollar goes down, the yuan goes right with it. It doesn't float in the free market like other currencies do, and that presents a problem to the United States, mainly because experts are saying that the yuan is undervalued by anywhere from 25 to 40%.
The Chinese government doesn't want to be told what to do with its currency, so that's causing a little bit of a rift there, too.
Right. Now we have all this outsourcing, of course, to China.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, why?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's
why?
I mean,
obvious.
It's slave labor.
Right.
They basically have slave labor over there. And so think about this now. Even if wages, say they, some people are saying, well, we need to revalue the yuan and jack it up 25% against the dollar. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good on the surface, right?
Mm-hmm.
But say a Chinese laborer is making 80 cents an hour.
Right.
Okay? We jack up his wages 25%. That means now he makes a dollar an hour instead of 80 cents an hour. Does that really matter all that much in the big picture of things compared to what U.S. laborers make? Well, of course not, because Chinese laborers make anywhere from 1/10 to 1/50 what our workers make. So even if they jack their wages up 25%, it's not going to matter that much. Plus, if they make the yuan higher, that means that imports from the United States going to China will be lower, all their raw materials. So even if they have a little bit of rise in wages, it's going to be offset by the import of the products coming in there, so it's not going to change anything.
It'll have a little global impact.
Right. So what we're doing here is we're saying that we're backed into this corner, and there really right now aren't any easy solutions. Now, we have to get back to this currency again and to see if the Chinese are operating fairly with us. And in 1998, there was something called the Trade Act, where our Senate determined if a country was manipulating their currency for their own advantage. Well, in 1994, guess what country was named as doing that?
China.
China. That's when they revalued their currency and pegged it to the dollar. So, we have to start thinking now, what's going to happen if that the yuan goes up? Well, the first thing is that it's going to make inflation rise because all the prices in our country are going to rise. Now, to keep control of inflation, the Federal Reserve is going to step in and lift interest rates. So that means it's going to be more expensive to get your hands on money to buy a house or a car.
And the resulting effect on the economy.
Yeah. Now, from China's perspective, they don't want their yuan to go up, which will make our dollar be even less valuable. And the reason why is, next to Japan, China holds more of our currency and more of our trade bonds, our treasury bonds, than any other country.
Mm.
So it'd be like, say you had $10,000 in stock, and all of a sudden they drop 25%, and they'd only be worth $7,500.
Right, they're not about to lose that much money.
Yeah, and when we talk about billions and billions of dollars, this is a big thing. Actually, the Chinese are right now sitting on $610 billion in their foreign exchange reserves. This is huge money we're talking about.
America's in a pretty precarious position.
It is. Yeah. So, if the dollar becomes less valuable, the Chinese are, one, they could no longer buy our treasury bonds, which means that they won't subsidize us anymore to spend beyond our means. This is bad.
So... Our nation is hinging upon what China does.
Exactly. The second thing they could do is take all these treasury bonds and dump them on the international market. That's not good because it would they would lower the value because the supply would increase. And finally, the worst thing is they could just say, we want to cash in these bonds. Pay us.
So what do you think? Something's going to happen to distract away from this impending just explosion of disaster?
Well, see, that's the thing, and we have to go back to the beginning of the show now, is we're in this window of opportunity where if something's going to happen, it's going to happen within the next 2 years. And, see, this gets even more complicated. Mm-hmm. I'm going to, write a couple articles about it, because some experts are saying, even though it seems like the United States is in such a precarious position, they say, actually, we're still in the driver's seat, because China really doesn't have anything. What they're doing is they're giving us all their products for free, and we're saying, well, in exchange, we're going to give you these bonds, these treasury bonds. Well, if they're not worth anything, what do they have?
But they have a lot of real estate in America, too.
Yeah, they are buying that. So that's another thing that could happen, is they could just say, that we're just, instead of defaulting on these loans or these bonds, we're just going to start taking part of your country. I mean, there's so many scenarios. But let's finally look and see if the yuan becomes valued up by 25%. We already said inflation is going to rise. Interest rates are going to rise. So that means if there's less money available to people, it's going to stop or at least slow down economic growth. And I don't think our economic growth is anything to brag about now anyway, is it?
Come on, Bush says the economy's good.
Yeah.
The economy's good.
Yeah. Now, if interest rates keep going up, and Lisa, think back to the days when Jimmy Carter was president and in the beginning days of the Reagan presidency, there were interest rates 12, 15, 16%.
Right.
I mean, the banks have been giving money away for the last few years just to keep the machine rolling. But if we get this the interest rates going up, no one's going to be able to buy a house anymore. Plus, all those people with variable interest rates,
they're going to be freaking out.
Yeah, their mortgages are going to double or triple, within the span of a couple
months.
So
then we're going to see a lot of foreclosures.
Foreclosures. Then if that happens, what happens to the stock market? It starts going down. And finally, since a lot of these credit cards are based upon the interest rate, and Americans are maxed out on their credit card payments are going to go up. So none of this bodes well for anybody.
And then you factor in what's going on with Europe and the euro.
Yeah.
What a mess.
And see, the people in control right now, they don't like to be crossed. And with the French and the Dutch voting down this EU charter, that just turns the heat up now a little bit more for them, because they're saying, well, now it's our turn.
Do you think those countries are going to see some repercussions for their vote?
Well, either those countries specifically or Europe or the world in general. Because now we're in this window, and it's very, very important that people get their economic house
in order.
If you have credit cards, cut them up. I mean, I know a lot of people are maxed out on them. Pay them off if you can. Do something, because if these interest rates start jacking up, it's trouble for everybody. So, other people say, well, go out and just buy tons of gold or whatever. Well, how many people have that kind of money just laying around where they can go buy gold ingots or, whatever? It sounds good when they say it.
Right.
But in reality, people have trouble paying their mortgage and getting groceries every week.
A lot of people live week to week.
Exactly. So that's where we stand right now, Lisa.
And it doesn't look like the window is going to be open too much longer.
Yeah. Well, we got probably till about 2007, the last about a year and a half now to 2 years.
We've been saying for a few years, keep your eyes on China.
That's right. And because the election season starts earlier and earlier every year, and they don't want any of these big factors hanging over it, because they want people just to get sucked in again to this selection brainwash propaganda process, where they actually think that they have a say-so in who's going to be president.
It's a fine line between being too complacent and being on the edge of your seat at all times.
Yeah.
You don't want to be either. You got to find that middle of the road.
Yeah, and we're not coming out here to, you know, just pound a paranoia in the...
Just pay attention.
Yeah, we want you to be smart. Keep your eyes open, pay attention, and be aware, because right now, if something's going to happen, it's going to start now. So, folks, keep your eyes open. Read the article on the Wing TV homepage, or I should say the newsletter from Thomas Holbrook. This guy did a fantastic job.
Yes, he
did. You know, we commend him highly for his stances and for his courage in putting this stuff out.
Right.
So we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for letting us come into your house every day. Keep your eyes open, folks. There's a lot going on.
See you tomorrow.